Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Let's do this indeed. Hey, everybody, you are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Finally, and for once, it's not my fault. Look, my name's Greg DeLacy, Murphy's Law on Xbox Live, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. The drunk in the middle with a NASA t-shirt is Mr. Robin Tate. Robin, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, it's Robin Tate here at Pongo CN. Let's keep going.
All right, and also we have GamerGirl27, Kim Woods, on the show.
Howdy. It's hot here. Let's get going.
It is hot here. Let's get going. Indeed. And last, but certainly not least, we have the man with the tin cup ears, the man who fell asleep prior to the podcast, the man who forgot to update his PC and all kinds of good stuff, Mr. Mark Wright.
Yeah, I'm here. Move on.
Shut off. All right, here we go. We are a video game podcast. We are late to the show right now. We apologize, by the way, everybody. It really was unforeseen issues. All kinds of crazy updates hit Mark's computer like right as we were trying to get set up. So that being said, hey, we broadcast every week, 9 p.m. in the UK-ish today, 9:30-ish.
Very-ish.
Yeah, very-ish. 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. Normally, typically, that's the time. Come check us out, twitch.tv/OC Podcast, mixer.com/OC Podcast, and youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast, because we wanted to be a little different there. Hey, I want to shout out real quickly Nerd Allegiance and Morris Atkins 22, because they are new Twitch followers. I don't know that we gave them shout outs last time, so I want to give them shout outs this time. We also have
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, maybe we did shout them out. We gave a second shout out. You know why? Because we love the people that follow us. We love the Twitch chat. I see Hardly Dan is in there. I see Sarah RCGC is in there. Hello to the both of you. Thanks for tuning in a timely fashion. And again, apologies that Mark was so late. Hey, birthdays. Robin, I hear we have some birthdays.
The Queen of Felt, the Mystery Woman of the Stitch, Lisa Olsen's having a birthday today. She is 28 years old and she is over the moon. And Dave Dog, David Hodgkin. Happy birthday to you too, sir. Happy, happy, happy birthday. And Mark's getting the happy birthday sound effect ready about now.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah! Redemption.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, 85 only comes around once, Dave, so happy birthday to you. All right.
He's not that far off.
Holy crap.
Sorry, Dave. Giving away trade secrets, Dave turning 18 today. Okay. So let's get serious for a moment. We're a video game podcast. We like to talk about life too, though. It's not just all video games for us every single day. We have stuff that happens outside of our life. So I think it's only appropriate that we talk about things like computer updates and what do we do when they happen. So let's do some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day. When we gather around his great big chair and Papa Beaver comes to stay.
I wanted to change that to Papa Greg.
Papa, who comes to stay?
That was Papa Beaver, but that was really fucking long.
Well, you wanted it longer. Fucking, I can't win, man.
Nice.
No,
Beaver.
Who's Papa Beaver? Beaver?
I just had a start.
I can't win. Right.
All right.
Goodness.
Let's talk about some stories. Mark, you want to talk about updating your computer?
No, fucking bastard thing. And it's just coincidence, but probably not coincidence, that my son was on my PC last night playing PUBG because he wanted to play the PC version for a change, and he got chicken dinners galore, like he does. Right. But what he did was, I've got three monitors connected to the PC, and they're all in priority windows, so when I use OBS, it knows which window to point to and which screen to point to. But what did Ego do? He went and changed the main display screen on one of his monitors and didn't tell me, and I've had a right job. So, yeah, apologies. And then when I did reboot my PC for it to correct itself, there were a load of updates pending. Back in Windows.
Mark, hang on, I've got to sound quick for that. Suggestion.
What?
Mm-hmm. Change your password. Don't tell Jay, just change it. And yeah, watch him in frustration trying to log into your computer.
Yeah.
Back in Windows 98.
Yeah, no, I can't even find that now. Fucking hell. I'm having a bad day. Okay. It didn't help that I fell asleep this evening and woke up at 8:40. I thought, shit, I've got a podcast to do in a minute. So that didn't help.
You were slacking off. You not only did you not update your computer, everything started late. And you didn't mow the lawn.
No, that's it. That's why I was so tired. I thought about having to mow the lawn, and it tired me out. So it just put me to sleep. So I've got that to do tomorrow, and I'm dreading it. So,
All right. Anything else you want to talk about outside of the computer disaster known as today?
Yeah, I have been watching quite a bit of TV over the past couple of weeks, and because I've not done much gaming recently. I've had a bit of a lull in gaming. I've lost my mojo a little bit, but I think I'm getting it back now. I've watched all of the episodes of Colony, what you've recommended, Greg.
Yes.
Full season of 1 and 2, and then I've caught up on the season 3s up to where it is now. And it is amazing. I love it. I'm hooked on it. It is fantastic. I would recommend it to anyone who loves sci-fi, post-apocalyptic type TV. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. It's great acting, like you said. Josh Holland, who played Sawyer from Lost. Sarah Calliwhite, who was Laurie in Walking Dead. She's in it as well. They're the two main people. Yeah, and it is really good. Really good story. And we've just come across a big reveal and plot twist, haven't we, Greg? So, that changes things quite dramatically. Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely brilliant. None of this bloody thing what the two Garys keep talking about, that bloody Handmaid's Tale stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're a bunch of maids themselves. So yeah. That's why they relate to that show.
They are completely jizzing over that thing. I don't know what it is, but I might have to take a look at it and see what all the fuss is about. But yeah, Colony is brilliant. Yeah.
So, The Colony, check that out. The Handmaid's Tale, that's the other show we were just referencing. Apparently, that's pretty good. Check that out at your own leisure if you would like. Hardly Dan also is saying he's looking forward to the Doctor Who Twitch marathon. Who?
I don't know.
Him. Get it.
I stopped watching Doctor Who when David Tennant left.
When David Tennant. I stopped watching because they never answered the question. Doctor Who. And I'm just saying.
Oh dear. Right.
Let's move on. The bad jokes are done. Actually, they're not. There's going to be plenty more. Kim, let's talk about your story time. What is going on in your life?
Well, Tony, what was it? Thursday. Tony started summer school. He gets on the bus and, he goes all day. He gets on the bus like at 6:45 and he gets out about, I don't know, it's a little about 3:30, but he gets home about 4. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to lie, that first day when he got on the bus, I teared up a little. Just a little.
And then he drove around the corner and you danced.
Yeah, the flags went out. Freedom!
Yeah, because I know from like 7 o'clock in the morning to like 4 that, hey, there's no Tony, you know.
I can't get on this bus. You're a stranger.
Right. The bus driver already had to get on him the first day because he wanted to sit in the back with the high schoolers. So, but he's doing good.
What age is he now, Kim?
He's 5.
Wow. By himself on the bus? God, they make him tough out there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's fully armed and everything.
We don't coddle our children. We ship them off as fast as we can.
Fantastic.
Yep.
But he
yep.
starts kindergarten in the fall, so we figured this would be a good introduction to kind of get him used to riding the bus and getting to going to school all day, because he's only been going to like noon at Head Start. So
right,
he'll be all right, yeah, Robin.
He seems to enjoy it.
He's got a concealed holstered sidearm. He's got a sawn off his backpack, and he's carrying an AR-15 over his shoulder. So he'll be all right.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's what we think of you, Americans. But, you know,
Tim will come to school and kick anybody's ass. So, you know.
Aunt Tim.
That's right. Aunt yeah. Tim will come and clean yeah. house. That's right. So, yeah, it's good. So, see what else. I've been working out on my little exercise bike. And the reason for that is because my youngest brother and my younger brother have both been diagnosed with diabetes.
So,
you know, the doctor told them like half an hour a day that can kind of help get them off of that. And so I'm dreading diabetes because it does run in our family. So right, I kind of decided to, you know, start, you know, looking after myself a little better.
You ain't got time for that.
Damn straight, you know. Mm-hmm. I got cerebral palsy. Don't need diabetes too, for God's sakes. Oh, so,
yeah, my eldest nephew's got that. It's not nice at all.
No, not at all. So I'm up to 10 miles a day. So I don't really have a goal. But I'm just, you know, seeing how far I can go. So,
now, what do you do when you're on your bike?
Are you actually biking, or are you on a stationary bike?
No, I have exercise. Yeah, I have a stationary bike. Yeah.
Okay.
No. So where I live, it's probably not a safe idea to go out on the bike. I'd be road pizza in no time. So it's safer. So, yeah, it's good.
Pizza. Okay.
Pizza.
All right.
Yeah.
I know. I'm getting hungry. I
can't get hungry.
You know, didn't eat before the podcast because I figured I'd be done in time for lunch.
Yeah. But now you're going to be really hungry by the end of this. Yeah. You really are. Much. I don't know.
Yeah. Robin.
God
Robin.
Almighty, what about the weather? Now,
let's
you
talk
guys
about
are
the hot tub.
Well, I'll get there, yeah, because that's part of it too. The weather over here in American, today it was 75, 80 getting up there. It's like, wow, yesterday as well. Whoa.
You know what? I would just like to point out, you know what? For once, maybe you guys can be a little appreciative of the global warming because we're bringing you good weather.
Right.
Yeah, bring it on. I mean, yesterday I painted a big fence and gates. All from started it from early in the morning, and it kept me until tea time, until dinner time, and I'm all chuffed. It's all sexy black and done all that. Most of me was sexy black after it all. So a week or so ago, I rolled the hot tub out and got it up under the bandstand, got it filled, and switched it on the other night, and got into it last night for the first.
Hold on. You rolled the hot tub out.
Yeah, it's a portable. It's a porta potty.
Oh, I did not know you had a portable hot tub. I figured it was stationary.
No, because the sort of the thrill wears off after a while. Because they do take a fair bit of upkeep. You have to test the pH levels every day and keep the chlorine and all that blah blah blah. So you get about 4 or 5 weeks, and then you get a bit bored with it. So you put it away for a month or two and bring it back out again. And that changes the look of the place. And that's good. So, but I jumped into it last night. And after I done my fence cleaning and showered and dinner, and jumped in with a glass of wine. And it was wonderful to watch the sun go down from my lovely bubbles. And just lovely. 40 degrees. I don't know what is 40 degrees in real terms. Yeah. Lots and hot. Hot. Yes. It turned me into a big prune.
So Mark has a video on screen right now of this portable hot tub that looks like it's like almost like a blow-up hot tub. Is that kind of what you have, or is it more robust?
Lazy
spa. Yeah, that's what this is. That I have.
Oh, this one, which one I've got on the screen is in Miami. Lazy Spa, Miami. Yeah.
We've got the seats and the headrests and the drink things and all the bits. It's brilliant. It's class. Uh-huh. It really is good. Uh-huh. And this is so on. And it's, and we had it stored away for the winter and out again. So it's lovely to have. It's nice to have. So then the night before, what is it now? This is Sunday. Oh, so Saturday night. Yeah, we had my brother-in-law was 50. His 50th birthday party.
Right.
And we had an American night. We had American cake. We had American clothes. We had American flags. We had American food.
Should be noted, your brother-in-law is American, in case anybody doesn't know.
No, he's not. He likes.
I don't know, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. We sat around the campfire and we had s'mores.
marshmallows. We toasted marshmallows on the fire and put them in these horrible crackers and had those. And we had some beer. Coors is Canadian.
I think it's time that you move. It really is. It's time you just come over, Rob.
And we sang some cunt from Preston. country and western songs.
I thought you were on about Stew then. Sorry, Steve.
But we had a really, really good night, a nice family night, good fun, and it's always nice. We've got a great family. We socialize a lot together, and it was a good night. But the American theme thing was good. I put up some of the photographs.
Yes, it's
fun. One thing I did pick up this week, which I'm quite chuffed, is my Ant-Man. This is a Junior Ant-Man number one edition. The Astonishing Ant-Man, but I picked one up signed, and I got it all sealed. I kind of looked at the comic because it's all sealed in here. It's signed Stan Lee.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And so people may think I was rather cynical, but the man's 95, and I'm quite sure my little investment of this thing here, I'm going to get it nicely framed and up on the wall, will probably be worth a bob or two more in a year or two.
Yeah, because it's always worth more than the dead.
Yes, exactly.
Sadly true, but it was very smart to say, you know what, I'm going to get it now instead of trying to wait, you know?
Yeah, I've been sort of keeping my eye out for one that was a first edition, a number one, and signed by Stan. So, yeah, I'm chuffed with that. And the last thing I want to talk about is something I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a guitar.
What?
You're going to learn how to play guitar?
Over the next year, I want to be able to play the opening section of the Eagles' Tequila Sunrise. I'm going to teach myself how to play the guitar.
You really are going through a midlife crisis, aren't you?
I have decided this. Well, I mean, one of the books I read this week or listened to in the car was How to Be Fucking Awesome, and I think it's wearing off a little bit. So the book is called How to Be Fucking Awesome. It's quite short, but 7 hours. It's a fucking awesome book. And yeah, it tells you how to be fucking awesome.
You going to grow your hair out?
Yeah, so it's been a good busy week. Busy work week, busy home life, and just fitting in as much as absolutely possible. And it's lovely to have the weather because I feel the weather run around me. It's good.
Yeah, you do look a little pink.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's good. It's good.
Good.
The sun is your friend. Remember that.
And Mark. You were back to Top Golf then.
Yes. Yeah. We had some friends come in out of town. And so we have been kind of entertaining over the weekend. So we went out to a nice dinner last night. And then we, prior to that, we hit Top Golf, played some golf. Cindy and her girlfriend went and got massages. So I took her husband with me and we went over to Top Golf and played some golf and drank some beers. It was a nice time and beautiful weather. It was raining, ironically, Friday afternoon. Go figure.
God.
We had rain, yeah. But then it cleared right up. It's been beautiful all weekend long. I'm looking outside right now thinking I should be out there, but I am here podcasting. I was on time. I'm just going to reiterate that.
Don't fuck with me.
All right. Outside of that, I mean, that really has been kind of the highlight, you know, dinner with friends, having fun, finishing up the backyard. That's all done now. So kind of really able to start enjoying all of that.
You have the alligators under control?
Alligators under control. We have one of the noisiest frogs in the world in our backyard. Oh, my goodness.
What's Kermit doing up there?
Last night. Yeah, Kermit was like croaking away.
Nicole is in your garden.
Oh,
if he's in the chat, Robin, you're in trouble.
To explain, Nicole thinks she sounds like Kermit, and we know she doesn't sound like Kermit.
Nope.
She sounds like his
nephew. No, just avoid this whole topic.
I love you, baby.
All right.
I'm just waiting for the delay in the chat. I'm waiting for all the text to start scrolling up.
Let's sit on some game time, Mark.
Oh, hang on. Shit. Wrong screen.
Yeah.
It's game time. Today I feel like playing computer games.
It's game time.
right. Game time. Robin, I think you're the only one that actually has played one of the recent quote-unquote freebie games. I believe you did check out Cluster Truck.
Yeah.
Professional opinion on this game.
It's a clusterfuck.
Okay. Clusterfuck is a clusterfuck.
Yeah. It looks like Crossy Road. You jump from 40-foot lorry to the next 40-foot 18-wheeler to 18-wheeler. Yeah. And it's... No. Don't try it. Don't waste your time on it. I threw it on while I was waiting for you guys to un-PUBG to get me pulled in. And no. Cluster Truck's not good. It's not good.
Now, when you say Crossy Road, is this the equivalent of Frogger?
No, but it's the same style of sort of graphics, that sort of blocky graphic thing. Yeah, the Crossy Road was like Frogger, yeah. But so that style of graphic. But no, Clusterfuck. Damn it. That game.
It's easy for you to say.
It is. So, yes, don't play that anymore. Yeah. No.
All right, fair enough. Do not play that. I can say just Vanquish, one of the free games out there. Good. Rayman Legends, also one of the free games.
Rayman's brilliant, yeah.
Very good game. So maybe make those your choices as opposed to Cluster Truck. All right, but more importantly, let's talk about what we have been playing. I'm going to take the lead here because I have been playing the most important game, PUBG.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. Thank goodness for that. I thought you were going to say that. Boring tech. Oh, again. No.
Fuck off. No.
It's bad. PUBG, I mean, what?
PUBG, we had a brilliant run the other day. I jumped on. It was myself. Mark was supposed to be on, but Mark was not feeling up to it. So
yeah,
Mark
surprise. I was fucking asleep again.
But your younger version joined us.
My mini-me. Yeah.
Yeah.
My PC and Xbox fiddler.
Yes, your PC. he jumped on. It was Mike Chin, myself, and also Matt the Albion. This is Xbox Live gamer tag. Anyway, we jumped in, played some PUBG, and we immediately got two chicken dinners back to back. It was brilliant. We ended up rounding out playing later on during the week. Got another chicken dinner. So, I mean, all in all, it was a really good few sessions of PUBG. And then, BattleTech. I continue to play BattleTech. I love this game. I highly recommend to anybody who wants a turn-based tactical strategy game, BattleTech fits the role. It does well. So really enjoying that. And I'm just going to blister through these. So you're not even going to have to worry about this. We're going to move on to the last game I played, which was State of Decay 2. Mark, you've been playing some State of Decay 2 as well.
Yeah.
So this is I call it a zombie simulation game because at the end of the day, this is more about managing your community than it is necessarily running around just killing zombies. So this is obviously the sequel to the first State of Decay. There's been some controversy around its launch. A lot of people have been, criticizing it for some of the glitches and bugs that are within the game, and there certainly are glitches and bugs present.
There's a few things what are doing my head in me, but...
Mm. Yeah. But once you get into the game, and I think that one of the other faults of this game is I don't think it still does a terribly good job of introducing you to the game. So the mechanics and kind of what you need to be doing and giving you direction, it's kind of the brilliance of the game, but it's also to a fault. And what I mean by that is... Mark, you started your playthrough, and you were kind of confused on what you needed to be doing and to kind of get yourself rolling.
Yeah. I played the first game, and I really enjoyed the first game, so I was excited for this one. But yeah, it was very confusing for me at the start, collecting the resources. It didn't really explain what to do with the... There's like special orange rucksacks what you collect for resources for the whole camp. And what I was doing is when I was finding them in the houses, I saw a button to break them down. And when you break them down, you get like nuts and bolts and stuff. So I thought, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. I didn't know you had to take them back to the main camp at first. So I wasted about 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, so the deal with the rucksacks, just so you know, is if you take the full rucksack back, you're going to get more supplies out of it. If you can't and you desperately need to break the rucksack down, you'll get less supplies out of it, but you're able to just kind of, in a sense, stash them in your pocket, so to speak.
Yeah. When you're at your home base, you've got icons up the top, one for food, one for fuel, one for,
ammo.
Ammo, yeah. There's various things.
Medical supplies.
Yeah, and these rucksacks fill them up. So I've actually got my food one now fully maxed out, but it's the medical one I need now, and I can't find them anywhere. I've done all the scouting things where you go over the towers and use the binoculars to look out for things, and everything's either construction, food, or something else. I cannot find any medical supplies, so all my camp are miserable fuckers. They're all fighting. Yeah. There's lots of problems in my camp. So
it's like us before you came on the podcast.
Yeah, totally. Completely. This is our community. But things you can do to counter that. So you can build a garden. Within the garden, you can actually do a modification to the garden to give yourself basically kind of a supply of medical supply. So you're basically creating herbs that can be used for medical supply. You can create an infirmary, which again is an important component, because the infirmary, then you're able to create a cure for the blood plague, which is basically what turns people into zombies.
Yeah. Well, so, that was another thing. That was one of the main missions. And it kept saying, bring the blood plague samples to the supply locker. Now, I could not find the supply locker to save my life in my camp. It was just pure luck I found it in the end, after much frustration. There's a little old-fashioned desk at the back of the house with a red lantern on. And when I walked up to it, I got the little prompt saying, press X to interact with the supply drop. The actual white icon, what you normally get above stuff, wasn't there. So it took me ages to find the supply drop. Because there's another place where you drop the orange rucksacks. And what I was doing, I was dropping everything on the floor there. So I had all these little like mini red bags all over the floor, scattered all over the floor. Because you can only carry so much. So yeah, I had a bit of a nightmare. But to my rescue was Nicole's son, Sean. He jumped in my game, showed me a few things, and luckily I just found that supply point in my house, so I managed to put everything in there. And then things started clicking in place then, and I started getting the hang of it. It took me to my first...
Mark, real quickly. Nicole said that you do have to listen, because it tells you where it is.
Oh, and just quickly, Sean, congratulations. He graduated, didn't he, from school?
Yes, he did.
He's moving on to bigger, better things.
Yep.
Seen that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot what I was talking about now.
Game.
It took me to my first blood plague heart, and we destroyed that. Well, he destroyed it. And that gave me 5 blood plague samples, so I managed to pass that mission. So, yeah, I'm starting to enjoy it now, apart from I can't find the supplies I want. I've scavenged quite a few of the houses nearby. I've completed all them. I'm getting the hang of it now. I've swapped a few characters around. I found a few bigger rucksacks to carry stuff, and I found some vehicles that carry more equipment than others. Greg gave me a fantastic tip that if you've got a vehicle and you store things in the back of a vehicle, if you park it in the designated parking bay at your home base, when you're in the inventory screen of your vehicle, you can just simply press the right trigger on the item and it will automatically put it in your supply point in your house. Saves you running backwards and forwards like me and Phil were doing all day long. So, yeah, that's a great tip. So, yeah, I'm starting to get to like it now. There's a few things what are bugging me, but they're only minor so far. The main one is doing stuff with vehicles. Right, with the vehicles, you can obviously drive them. You can put stuff in the trunk or boot, if you're in England. And you can repair them, and you can refuel them, because they need fuel. Now, to find the refueling point, it's very finicky. You have to move around and line yourself up to the exact point where you have to fuel it. You get the prompt, and you just move a stick a little bit too much, and the prompt goes. And that's a pain in the ass. And same with when you're searching lockers. You have to get it spot on.
Yeah, that is one of the finicky pieces to the game that I'm not crazy about, is that there is some lack of, there's precision needed, but a lack of precision within the controls to kind of get you to some of these more difficult tasks. And it's not a difficult task, it's just frustrating. You know, you want to refuel the car, you get up next to the refuel spot, you know, where the little door for the car, you know, the fuel door is. And if you move, like you said, you move off of it, and it's going to ask if you want to enter the vehicle. Yeah. If you go too far to the back of the vehicle, it's going to say, do you want to open the trunk? And you're like, no, I really just want to put fucking gas in the car.
And what makes it worse is if you've got a lot of zombies coming around trying to eat you while you're doing that, that's the worst bit. But like I said, they're only minor things, and there are a lot of plus points on it, what I think. Compared to the first game, in the first game, the combat was very clunky. And they have improved the combat, in my view, in this game, a lot. The melee combat is a lot better. Like the guy on the screen now is using an axe. I've got an axe on one of my characters, and it's so satisfying using that axe. And once the zombie's on the floor, you can do a finishing move where it just like splits a head in two or whatever, or chops a head off, and it's quite cool to do. Yeah. So yeah, definitely an improvement on that. The gunplay is better, yes.
Yeah.
Especially the rifles. The rifles with a scope on it. Yeah, really, really good. And graphically, it looks good. The AI character animations are a bit clunky, a bit janky. But it is a big game, big open world game. But yeah, it does look nice. It's in HDR. I don't know if it's 4K, but it's definitely in HDR because I get the notification. So it looks gorgeous on mine, especially with the sunrise and sunset. And because it's in HDR on mine.
There are times when the game looks really nice. There are other times when it looks a little on the jankier side. The character animations, as you mentioned, in terms of the voice work, it's not great. It's serviceable.
Yeah.
It's serviceable to the game. But that the hook of this game isn't the story, per se.
No, it's a management.
In terms of the story that they're giving you, it's the story that you make. Yeah. That's the best way I could describe it. It really is.
Yeah. So now I'm on the lookout for a bigger base now. I'm already planning on moving, but you have to collect influence, like a star in a circle, and that's your currency, is your influence. And I'm not 100% sure how you get the influence yet. I keep getting it for killing certain zombies.
Yes, and so doing how you get missions. Influence is taking out big zombies like the bloaters, the screamers. You also get influence by going in and helping out other communities.
Yeah.
So you'll gain influence there, and you also gain influence by taking out infestations.
Right, okay.
So those pop up, you take those out. You kill a zombie horde, roaming horde, you'll get influence. Yeah. That is your currency, as you said. Just one thing to note, when you do change your community, you're going to have to rebuild everything.
All right, you can't reclaim it.
Come with you. Shit. Yeah, no. So just be ready for that. Yeah. Be ready for that.
I've just upgraded my kitchen and my storage to level 2, so I can store more.
So Dan's saying there it's not too bad with the mouse and the keyboard. Of course he says that. And of course nobody likes Dan. Everyone wants to leave.
But yeah, everyone in this camp wants to leave. The problem I've got at the moment is the camp morale in my game is very low. They're all depressed. I've got a red unhappy face, so mine are all fighting and having arguments in the camp.
When you go into your community screen, as you're looking at your base, you're going to see a list kind of all the things that are affecting your camp. And you're going to see red ones that are affecting it in a negative way. You're going to see green ones that are affecting it in a positive way. That basically is your to-do list on how to get your camp morale up.
Yeah.
So if you see like 4 out of 5 or 6 people in your camp are being affected by infestations continuing, you start going out killing the infestations, that you're going to change that. You'll get that to be a plus number.
Well, I did that, and I went and took out 2 infestations nearby, and then it went orange, and the sort of like mouth, instead of being upside down, it went flat for a bit. And then 5 minutes later, we're fucking arguing again. So,
there's probably more issues in the camp.
So you have to go into that into more detail, do you? Right, I don't know how to do that yet. But.
Well, you just have to look at all those things that are happening. So you're going to see infestations, one of them, but you're also going to see low food supplies. You're going to see, like, one of my guys tells bad jokes. So but it impacts morale on other people that he tells the bad jokes to everybody. Yeah. But
There's always one, isn't there, Robin?
Yes.
So I didn't think the game helped you through the the initial stages. It wasn't very helpful with a tutorial. It was a bit overwhelming at first, but I'm getting used to it now. I'm starting to enjoy it. I just hope it doesn't become too much of a, like, fetch this, fetch that, fetch this. I do think that later on in the game it's going to become more sort of like people management than the combat.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. That will be part of it. But I think that's what I like about it. Again, I feel like I'm playing a proper Walking Dead simulator. I mean, this is the Walking Dead, right? You're interacting with other communities. If you don't help out some communities and you turn them down, they actually will become hostile towards you.
All right. So that's another thing. Yeah, I've not come across any hostiles yet.
Yeah. So, there's lots to do in this game, and it is a big, big game. It's not going to be a quick burn through.
I've had quite a lot. I looked on the Game Hub, and it says how long you've played. I've got 4 hours into it so far, and I've had a lot of achievements unlocked so far. That's been quite satisfying.
Question. Yeah. I have it downloaded. I haven't switched it on yet. How many co-opers can you have? Is that just one person?
Four.
You can have four.
Up to four people play together.
Up to four peeps.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And one of the things that to keep in mind when you're doing co-op is, Robin, if you invite us to play co-op with you, all three of us are going to be working towards helping you out with your camp.
Damn shit.
Anything to do in the game in your session is not going to help us out on our camps. Good. Outside of whatever we pick up, if I find a really cool weapon and I keep it on myself and then I quit out, that will come with me back to my camp. So that'll come with me back to my game.
Not taking anything out of my world.
Yes, I will.
Okay. A swivel?
Yes, a number one for you. But that's important to know because some people were, I guess, upset about that. But, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, we're jumping into your game. You know, and also keep in mind it is peer-to-peer networking. So you want to make sure that you have pretty decent connections on the internet side of it. Otherwise, it's going to be a little bit laggy and it's not going to necessarily be a fun experience.
Okay.
How big is the map then? Because is there more to it than what you can see on the screen, which is pretty big anyway? Because I remember the first game you unlocked the second part, didn't you?
Yeah, there's additional areas.
All right, okay, because it looks huge.
Yeah. Mm. All right, yeah, so State of Decay 2. There we go. And with that said and done, I think Mark and I both actually have talked about pretty much everything that would have happened. I mean, Mark, do you want to talk about anything more with PUBG?
Well, the Miramar map went live on the main game, so it's been on the test server up till now, but the update came live, was it Thursday? So that is now part of the main game, so there's a chance to get Miramar or Erangel. And we've had a chicken dinner this week as well, haven't we? With Chinny and Jane. Yep, so... we've had some. Before that, we had some good games. We were always in the sort of like top 10. We've had a few top 3, top 2 places. We've been unlucky with a few games with a circle. But yeah, really good getting back into it. Like I said, I've not been on it for ages, and I was very rusty at first. But yeah, I'm getting back into it now. Getting a taste for it back. So.
Yep. No, PUBG continues to be a source of fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those games. Like it's going to be like a Minecraft, and it's always going to be there.
Yep. So. Agreed. All right. Kim.
Yeah, I haven't done much this week. I finished Oxenfree last night.
Ooh, welcome.
Finished it. Yeah, it was good. I'm not going to, you know, do any spoilers because I don't think you finished it yet. So it was good.
It's a nice little story.
Yeah, it's a good story. The backtracking kind of got a little old, but apparently I wasn't very good at it because I realized last night when I finished it and all the achievements started to pop, I didn't find any of the old lady's letters. I thought I'd found at least one of them, but I apparently haven't found any of them. So I'm going to have to start it up again, go through it again, and see if I can find them. Because apparently I missed them all.
Find the old lady's French letters.
Yeah, I got to find all of her letters. But it was nice. It wasn't going into it. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, it was pretty freaky. It was pretty out there. So it didn't, you know, yeah, I don't know what I thought, but
there is a supernatural bit, isn't there, that it sort of, and that's like, what is this? What?
exactly.
Is it real? Is it a dream? Is it
in her head? Is she crazy? Yeah. And there was a whole deal with the brother going on too, and it was like, okay. Huh. But no, it was good. I'm glad I paid for it. I didn't know it was going to be free, but I paid for it. It's like $7.
Such is life, right? Yeah, such is life.
Story of my life.
It's nicely drawn. It looks good. It looks cartoony, but there's quite a deep story to it.
I think the clear standout in Oxenfree, though, is the voice acting. That interaction, the storytelling that gets told within the back and forth dialogue is top notch.
Yes. Yeah, because I liked Alex and her back and forth with her stepbrother Jonas. I liked him more than actually going and doing anything with Ren, because Ren annoyed the hell out of me. And don't even get me started on Clarissa. So,
which one was the Valley Girl? Was that Clarissa? Was it the sport rotten one? Yeah.
Hussy. Yeah, the annoying one. So I like. And fun fact: the woman that does the voice for Alex is also the woman that does the voice for Snow White in The Wolf Among Us.
Speaking of which, I don't think we have this in the news, but The Wolf Among Us season 2 is coming 2019.
And I saw that via Kim's feed on Facebook. She was very excited. I must admit, that is my favorite Telltale game. I do like that.
Same
first
here.
One. Yeah.
Bumped it's coming in 2019, but happy to see it's coming.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And if they cancel that sucker, I swear to God, I will riot.
Be forewarned. We'll go ballistic.
That's
an interesting point. I would have to see The Walking Dead first season. Probably with Among Us, and then Borderlands would be a close.
I still haven't played that yet.
Third for me.
I've had it all this time. Really, I bought it that pack, and I still haven't played it.
I couldn't get into Borderlands, the Telltale one. I think I'm like episode 2 or 3, and I just. But you know what? Borderlands for me, I never really got into Borderlands the proper game either.
You didn't need to.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick's a voice actor, so it's good. I'm really glad you enjoyed that, Kim, because I really enjoyed it, and I think it's a cracking game. Well worth playing.
Yeah, I agree. If you've got it or you picked it up when it was free, it's a very atmospheric game. So try it out, see if you like it.
That is a good word for it, atmospheric. I like that.
Atmospheric.
All right, speaking of atmospheric, Robin, let's talk about Final Station. Because, unless you want to go back and talk about Cluster Truck some more, which I don't think...
No, I don't. I don't. And PUBG, no. PUBG, I can take it or leave it. It's good fun with you guys, but I'm not playing with you guys or some community people. It has no draw for me whatsoever.
The key is playing with friends is that game. Yeah, playing with friends makes that game,
I have played this weekend. It's something I kept on looking at, and it appeared in the Game Pass collection, and it's called Final Station. So it is a side-scrolling shooter... train simulator adventuring platform horror game. There you go. I have that tightly defined. It's by a company called Do My Best Games. It was released originally in PC in 2016. And if you can imagine, if you know what Broforce looked like, it's those sorts of graphics, that sort of blocky, 16-bit. Pixely, 16-bit sort of thing, but not as colorful. So it's in gray and dark. You imagine the horror theme to it. So sort of the premise is, again, we're into zombies. You are a train conductor and you go to work one day and something has happened. Ooh, an unknown force is attacking the world and you have been tasked to take this device for the military to the final station. And on the way, you can pick up some survivors and try and get them to safety as well. And as you go along, the train simulator part of it, you, as the train is going and you have some survivors in the back, they might get hungry. So you have to give them a food pack, or they could be in ill health and their health could be dropping. So you give them a health pack, and they might be getting sick because the train is too bumpy So you have to go and adjust the suspension on the train, the levers up and down, or the air filter thing isn't working properly, so you have to adjust it. And it's all that sort of adjusting little scales to keep them all happy. And then you get to a station, and then you get out of the train, and you have to go and find a code at each station to find that, and that's to get past that station to make the train active again. And in these little stations, there are these zombie creatures and people that have been taken over. And they, again, as I've been progressing, there'll be standard zombies and zombies with armor and zombies that you have to kill with explosive barrels and all our bits and pieces. And it's just a quirky little game that is, I've always looked at it and went, Now it's a sort of it is a 7 out of 10 game, but it's for that sort of little thing, it's worth a look. All the little mini games are good. You know, the combat's pretty good in each little station. I'm enjoying it. It's a good
little
game.
It's basically a side-scrolling State of Decay. There's micromanagement of your community. Yeah, you've got to go out and get resources.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Zombies.
There's a theme amongst us right now.
and this
apocalypse.
This is on Game Pass as well, so if you've got Game Pass,
you can
play this as part of your subscription.
And it's trains. Yeah.
And it has trains. It does have trains.
I'm a train driver.
Yeah, there was a movie, and I cannot remember for the life of me the name of the movie, but it was about this train that was like had to constantly stay in motion. It was up in like Siberia or something like that. It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway.
The one with Denzel Washington in.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, there was one with Denzel Washington.
Was that the sequel to Jean-Claude Van Damme, the other guy from the 80s that done karate, and he was on a boat with Tommy.
No. I know what you're talking about.
No, that's Under Siege, Steven Seagal.
Under Siege 2, that was on a train.
Yeah.
By the end of the show.
Thomas, the evil.
No, not Thomas the train.
No.
Either the engine.
And
Silver Bullet,
yes, Gene Wilder, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a double decker train that got away. It was like a bit like Spaceball sort of thing. No, wasn't that one? No.
Let's play Guess the Train.
I know what it was. I know what it was. It was the one with Sandra Bullock, and it was a bus, and the bus couldn't go under 55. And there was a bomb. There's a bomb in this bus, and they had to get under the bus to get the bomb, and. No, that wasn't that one either.
No.
God, good movies. Sandra Bullock, she was a wildcat. Damn. Anyway, Final Station's worth checking out.
There you go. Final Station worth checking out. Took us a little while to get there. Snowpiercer, by the way. That's the name of the movie.
That's one, yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
I know. Never.
Yep.
Ever.
Kim has heard of it, so both of you can pound sand. All right. More importantly, Robin, anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
Pound. I don't know what pound.
Pound sand. Pound sand. It's a term.
Is it?
Punch sand.
No. Pound sand. Like, get lost, dude.
What do we know? We're little humble British people.
I know. And by the way, 200 years, we have finally infiltrated the royal family, and America is coming to take over. Yeah. Yep.
Phase two has started. Yeah. Oh my God!
You remember
quite a while ago.
Fire! We all have fire. We're love of the world. Hallelujah! Amen.
A while ago, I kept sharing some videos, some bad lip reading videos of Star Wars movies and stuff, and the inauguration. There's one for the royal wedding, and it is hilarious. Yeah, so it's really good.
Just saying, we dumped your tea to start this off, and now we've infiltrated through marriage. It's just a matter of time. All right, let us move on from what we have been playing. I think maybe we should do quiz time.
Yeah,
a quiz.
Nicole, I hope Nicole's still here because I've worked on a new jingle for her quiz today. You ready for this?
Yes.
No, I'm ready.
You're gonna love it. You ready, Nicole? Here we go.
Who said it best?
I like that all. Yeah,
needs a bit of work.
Yeah, possibly. I do laugh a little bit though. All of your new jingles have some kind of like demonic voice at the end of it.
Well, I can't use my proper voice because it sounds shit.
not at all. Get your son to do some voice work. I mean, it's the least he can do for screwing your computer up.
Well, at first I was going to use a helium effect, but it sounded stupid. Well, not as stupid as that, but... she said that's painful. Who said that? Yeah.
Who said that? Who? All right, here we go. Welcome to Who Said It Best, the game of quotes. These quotes mainly come from video games, but can come from other game-related sources, including but not limited to movies, graphic novels, fictional stories, and porn. I added the last part myself. After the quote, the answer choices are read, and on the count of three, give your answer in the show notes, by the way. Folks, I need to see those in the show notes, and then we'll figure out who got it correct. If you get a correct answer, you get 1 point. If you don't get it correct, you get nada, zilch, zero. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you that again? Kids? Nope, not doing it again. Here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. Who said it best? First question. First statement. I guess this is really statements, not questions. I can blow away zombies and monsters with the best of them. Show me a spider and I lose my freaking mind. Who said it best? Was it A, Clementine Marsh, B, Juliet Starling? I suppose I could tell you what these are from, by the way. Clementine Marsh in The Walking Dead Season 2. Was it Juliet Starling, Lollipop Chainsaw? Or is it Rachelle Itis in Left 4 Dead 2? I don't know if I said her name right or not. Or was it Jill Valentine in Resident Evil? Those were in order, by the way. A, B, C, D.
God.
So, I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. Do it. All right. So two individuals have said C. They believe it was Rachelle Itis from Left 4 Dead 2. And one individual, Robin, has said he thought it was Jill Valentine in Resident Evil. I can tell you there is at least one correct answer on the board. Well, apparently that correct answer belongs to a goat. Robin, well done. It is Jill Valentine. Resident Evil.
I had no idea.
Me neither. That's a guess.
All right. Well done, Rob. Well done. All right. Who said it best? Oh, I know what the ladies like.
Robin.
What the ladies like. Who said it best? Was it A, Sergeant Johnson in Halo? B, Commander Shepard in Mass Effect? C, Fargoth in Morrowind? Or D, Handsome Jack in Borderlands 2? Or E, Mark Wright on the Overseas Connection podcast?
As long as they're called Shaman.
Yeah. Oh, I know what the ladies like. Who said it best? A, Sergeant Johnson. B, Commander Shepard. C, Fargoth. Or D, Handsome Jack. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. Do it.
Ooh.
Everybody has said D.
Triple D.
They believe Handsome Jack said it best. But sadly, he did not. Because good old Sergeant Johnson said it.
I wondered that too, but...
Yeah.
Is that one or the other, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Damn it. These are too hard. I don't like this quiz. Too hard.
Quiz. I don't listen. I only play the game.
Yeah.
I don't listen to this stuff. I have to look it up.
All right, boys.
Quiz, and you will play. Here we go. Who said it best? Is it dead? What the hell is it? It's not human. Was it A, Joel Miller in The Last of Us? B, Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil 4? C, James Sunderland in Silent Hill 2? Or D, Isaac Clarke in Dead Space 2? Who said it best? Is it dead? What the hell is it? It's not human. Who said it best? Joel Miller, B. Leon Kennedy, C. James Sunderland, or D. Isaac Clarke? Who said it best? I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. Do it.
I have no idea.
Three different answers. We have Mark, who thinks it was Leon Kennedy. We have Robin, who thinks it was Joel Miller. And we have Kim, who thinks it was Isaac Clarke. And you know what I think? I think it was James Sunderland from Silent Hill 2. Everyone got it wrong.
Fuck it.
Wah, wah. Oh, dear.
Wah.
No.
It looks like we only had 1 point come out of this. And that belongs to Robin. Well done, Robin.
Thank you. Do you know what, Greg? As good as you were at delivering that quiz,
yeah,
Nicole did it better.
She does.
No slight on you, but she's just.
I needed a little Texas drawl, you know.
You should have.
Yeah,
done
you slipped.
Way.
You said it before the show started. You were going to do it in Nicole's accent, and you chickened out.
Because we're still late. No, that's why. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. If we had been on time, he was going to do that.
That's right.
He had a whole skit planned. We had Kim and myself had lines and everything, and just ruined.
It's totally thrown off. So
better move on, Greg. Quick.
Just to move on. Maybe we should just go into some news.
Mm-hmm. Here is the fucking news.
I have to imagine right about now that's actually how Mark is feeling towards us.
Right?
I'll give you the all right.
That's all of it.
Not a lot of news came out this past week, but there were some, at least one big reveal. On the heels of last week, we got Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which was talked about quite a lot. This week, we had the Battlefield 5 reveal. Robin has said failboat, apparently. Robin, you don't you didn't think this was a good reveal? Robin, you're muted.
You're muted. Failboat.
Yeah.
That's from Mark.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4 reveal. Woohoo. Yeah. More shooting people. More doing shooting stuff in a nicer way. More realistic looking. So
Let's talk about the reveal itself. So it is confirmed Battlefield 5 is going back to World War II. DICE said, post the reveal, it wanted to challenge the perceptions of the Second World War with Battlefield 5. They said that means moving away from recycled, albeit legendary events like the Normandy landing and putting players in places and situations they might not expect, like North African desert, the city of Rotterdam in Netherlands, and the French countryside, and the harsh Arctic environment of northern German-occupied Norway. So I think they more or less just revealed where at least 4 out of potentially 5 or more of the more vignette story single-player mm-hmm. campaigns are going to take place. And they are returning with that, by the way. So they're going to have single-player, but it's going to be that vignette style that we had last time with Battlefield 1. Where we had smaller bite-sized stories that were independent of one another. I think it was an effective way for them mm-hmm. in the first game when they introduced it. So I can see why they would be doing it again. This garnered some controversy for some stupid reason. A bunch of juvenile male gamers felt this was somehow, taking a step back from this, they had issue with one of the main protagonists that is being portrayed on the cover. She's female. She happens to have a prosthetic arm. So they're, DICE is trying to portray some true life stories or some stories that were taken from some true stories and bring it into this narrative. But apparently there are some very insecure individuals out there that took offense to this and they couldn't believe that they were trying to introduce women into World War II because they were never part of World War II, according to them. That is in fact, completely inaccurate. Women were very much a part of the French resistance.
Resistance, yep, absolutely, yeah.
Look, I will wait to pass judgment on the single player story side of this game for when it comes out, and I experience that. If they do it well, I'm fine. If they don't do it well and it's poorly directed, that's one thing. But I'm not going to take exception to this game just because they're introducing some characters that, you know, a prepubescent boy can't handle seeing a girl on the cover of his game. If you are offended by that, I'm sorry. You need to check yourself and just maybe take a little inner stock of what's important in life. So there's that aspect. They talked about combined arms, which is a new cooperative mode. And they said that you'll be tasked to basically take an online squad with completing missions behind enemy lines. They said you might have to take out key positions, for example, but before that, scavenge for explosives, steal a vehicle, etc. A mission generator basically is going to keep this a little more fresh, so it sounds like it's going to be a little more procedurally generated, so it won't be the same thing over and over again. But that sounds kind of interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I think the big draw is going to be the main Battlefield game, that the multiplayer, which we kind of know that we saw it in Battlefield 1, we've seen it in Battlefield 4 and previous Battlefield games. The positive on the heels of Star Wars Battlefront 2 is that this will not contain any loot boxes.
Really?
No loot boxes. They're not going to have any paid DLC maps either. So I think they're finally kind of catching up with the rest of the industry in realizing that by segmenting premium maps that they kill their user base. So they're doing away with that. So that's good news.
Yep.
Obviously we'll have to wait and see how this game comes out and if it's actually good, but out of the two big reveals, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and Battlefield 5, I lean towards Battlefield 5 right now in terms of what has my interest.
Yep. Me too.
Mark, Robin, any thoughts?
It's another Battlefield.
I'm getting fed
all
up
these
with
single player first person shooters. Yeah, we're just getting old, and it's hard to get excited about a new one every year.
I was fortunate enough to have access to the last Call of Duty World War II one. Greg bought that because he wanted it, but I won't bought. I've not even touched. Well, I played the first tiny bit of a multiplayer to see what it was like. I've not touched it since. I've no interest in them anymore. I've gone off. I think they're oversaturated.
And the stuff that's on the screen right now looks great, but
yeah, it does. Yeah,
doesn't look like it's going to translate into gameplay either.
We've played so many games of this type, haven't we?
Yeah,
so many World War II games. I liked Battlefield 1 because World War 1 hasn't been visited much in games, and I really enjoyed the little vignette stories in Battlefield 1. But I don't know.
Do you know what I'm more excited for? Battlefield 1943 coming back to backwards compatible.
Yeah. That's a great
game.
Little
island. That was brilliant. Yeah. We had some great fun on that, and I would go back and do some of that again. Just speaking of, I want to interject here. Speaking of dicks on the internet, I'd just like to recognize Total Biscuit passing away. So you may or may not know who Total Biscuit is. He was sort of a very big YouTube star, very much in Blizzard camp, and a game cynic, or sort of commentator, reviewer. And he was 33 years old, passed away with cancer over the last few days. He was actually born in England, actually. He was actually born in Newcastle upon Tyne and lived over in Charlotte. And it's quite sad that he has passed away. But some of the dicks on the internet were being dickish about it. Didn't like him. Really horrible over him. I'm not sad. All this stuff, I'm not sad to see him go and all that. I just really, just people, really. So, yeah, the world, the gaming world is a bit poorer because he was a big personality out there. Not exactly affecting our world, but,
He did impact our world. and in fact, in some degrees, because he was kind of a beacon of not. He didn't sugarcoat things. He definitely was a very call it like you see it kind of individual, and I think that's part of what rubs some people the wrong way. You know, I didn't always agree with Total Biscuit's point of views. Some of his views were very controversial. Some of them I totally was in line with. I very much liked to listen to him talking about games because there was passion with him. You could see it, you could hear it.
Yeah.
It is very sad to see anybody die from cancer, you know, especially at that age. You know, again, 33, he was a very young man. And so to that, you know, obviously, you know, you just you feel for the family and you hope that people will remember him in a positive light. Those people out on the internet that were trolling and being dicks, you know what? At some point in time, they're going to have to answer for their own actions. And whether it happens in this lifetime or the next, you know, they're going to be judged. That's just the way I look at it. And you reap what you sow. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on from this and talk about something else that is at the end of its cycle. No pun intended. Well, maybe a little bit. PlayStation. So Sony had an investors call, and the new PlayStation boss, John Codera, was outlining basically the company's next kind of 3-year roadmap. And basically within that, he was talking about the PlayStation 4, basically the PS4 era entering its final stages, and basically just kind of talking about, you know, what their anticipation was for the next 3 years and how they were going to, you know, kind of wrap up the PlayStation 4 life cycle. So, of course, this has led to a lot of speculation about, okay, well, when's the PS5 coming? Is it coming in 3 years? Is it coming sooner? Nobody really knows because he didn't really give away any true specifics. He just talked about kind of what the console generation typically, you know, has done as it starts to decline in sales and kind of, you know, they don't expect a lot of hardware sales money in terms of profits coming out of the division. And it's really going to be kind of shifting gears into it again, that new cycle.
So, kids, it's time to buy those Sony shares.
Yeah. Look, we knew this was coming. Even though they just, you know, they brought out the PlayStation 4 Pro, what, 2 years ago? Technically, it's about 2 years old now. It was a mid-cycle, you know, refresh per them. So if you extrapolate that out, you have about 2 more years of this cycle. So I think it's pretty clear 2020 is really going to be a target year. You know, I don't anticipate anything being said this year for PlayStation 5. I could see a tease next year, but I could also equally see them not say anything next year and roll out the PlayStation 5 in the same year. So, you know, early 2020, they reveal it, and then they launch it come holiday 2020.
Don't forget
kind of what they did with PlayStation 4.
Yeah, don't forget they have that PlayStation experience, so like October, November time every year as well now. So it might get announced then, I'd have thought, rather than E3. Because E3, they want to concentrate on games, don't they?
Well, for now, I think they do. Certainly, that's kind of what they've hinted at this E3, is that they're really kind of focusing in on 4 key games, and then they're going to have some third-party deals, that kind of thing they'll talk about. They said there was not going to be any hardware announcements at this E3. So, you know, I this is just adding fuel to the fire of speculation. But if I was a betting man, I would be putting a bet on PlayStation 5 announcement and release 2020. That's my take. Some people think it's going to be 2021. I think that's too long. I think Sony will support the PlayStation 4 for 3 more years, but they'll launch the PS5 before that. They do that little bit of overlap. They've always done it, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it this time.
Yeah, it makes sense to start the plan for that now. It's funny because, I mean, with the way Xbox One has gone, where the backwards compatible stuff, will the PS5 have PS4 backwards compatible? Will it be that sort of iteration?
That's a good question.
Iteration, yeah. You know? Have Microsoft hit a thing? I mean, I love that backwards compatible stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really, really nice touch. So maybe that's the way it's going to be. Or maybe...
I don't think you're going to see in, you know, when the PS2 ended its life cycle and the PS3 came about, they did backwards compatibility by literally having a PS2 chip inside of the new PS3. That's not going to happen this go round.
Really? So, that what they did? Yeah.
Yeah. They literally had an, the
it was chip just a launch consoles. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So with PS5, if they're going to have some kind of backwards compatibility, it's going to have to be some kind of emulation. I don't see Sony wanting to go that route. I think Sony wants people to be getting their backwards compatibility through PlayStation Now services. So I really question whether or not the PS5 is truly going to have backwards compatibility, or if it's just going to be offered up like they're doing now, which is, hey, if you want to play your PS3 games on your PS4, they're all available in PS Now. And I can see that being the direction they go with the PS5. It hasn't hurt them. It really hasn't hurt them not having backwards compatibility in the PlayStation 4.
Cool.
I mean, it's been a talking point for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not hurt them sales-wise, clearly. So, I don't know. Anybody else have thoughts? I mean, Kim, is backwards compatibility, is that a selling point to you for a new console?
I was going to say no, but yeah, I think so. I like being able and going back to play games maybe I never got a chance to play through, you know, when they first came out, or maybe I just want to revisit a game that I loved. And, you know, so yeah, I'd say it's pretty important up there. I mean, I've done it on with the Xbox One here now. I mean, I've fired up Red Dead. I've, you know, went back, played some others, and, you know.
I had a great time with Dead Space earlier on. Going back to it because I'd never played the first Dead Space. And there's, you know, Red Dead as well recently there, and there's quite a few, there's still a few classics, like you were talking about the one of the freebies this month, the running on the knees, like Gears of War,
Vanquish,
you know, there's stuff like that there which are classics that we missed. There's just so much good stuff, so I think it's a nice feature, and I think it'll definitely stay with the Microsoft guys.
So just a speculation question. Do you think the next lot of consoles will be disc-free, optical disc-free?
That is, I think, one of the ultimate questions right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will be.
Man, it's tough. It is really tough because I think there's still a strong enough community out there that's buying disc.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the sales breakdown right now, I think it's about half and half. I think half the software sales right now is currently still generated from retail box sale, and then the other half is through digital. It's going to take a bold move from somebody pushing that and going all in for digital only. Yeah. I mean, PC is already there. Really, they are. I mean, PCs these days are being sold without disk drives for the most part.
I don't think I've used my disk drive on my PC once in the past year.
Yeah. I mean, my new gaming computer has no disk drive in it.
It
is a completely digital machine. So PC is leading the way on that, but it's something that console hasn't really adopted. And I think there's some fear of adopting that from the console makers, but man, I think one of them, and I don't know who, I would lean towards Microsoft making that jump before Sony. But then again, you know, Microsoft was, you know, they're the ones that went all in on the, you know, Ultra HD Blu-ray drive, and Sony said, no, we're not going to upgrade that. So I don't know. I'm just
something in my gray matter. There's something very weird about 5 in Japan. I remember hearing somebody talking about once that it would be very hard for them to call it the PS5 because 5 in Japanese, maybe Nicole can help us here, is it something about being very, very unlucky, or there's something bad about the 5? So I'll be interested in what they do with the naming, if that's, or maybe that's just something I dreamt one night in a stupor. Anyway, it's interesting. You know, things move on. I can't stay the PS4 forever. So, you know, it'll the next thing will be bigger and better and bolder and
I think the big question really is, you know, kind of where what direction they take the architecture, because that also is going to be a big part of backwards compatibility in terms of, you know, if they stay with the kind of same chip design or something that is easily, you know, engineered to be able to run the previous stuff, you know, that would impact backwards compatibility considerably.
Yeah, well, that's where Microsoft have got it right, because you can now or very soon get all of these games on PC as well, because it runs a shell. It runs a shell of the Xbox 360 inside the Xbox One. So that can sort of go on anything then. That shell could be played on PC and anywhere. So it becomes a platform more than just a console. So,
yeah.
Anyway, cool. Cool. Yeah.
So, all right, that is the news. We can kind of shift gears a little bit, Kim, if you wouldn't mind. Maybe dive into some events and happenings. And then, Robin, I'm going to have you follow up with the victories achieved stuff. I'm going to step out real quickly. So,
yeah, I'm just going to mention one little quote on and it's important that you stay here for 1 second.
On
Facebook, Simon Kempster, can anyone who can correctly pronounce the word niche, it's French and it should be pronounced niche. Please refrain from telling anybody. Please refrain anybody had pronounced the word beta. Thank you. So yeah, you guys say niche. Beta. I hear you guys say niche.
Potato, potato. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Yeah. Potato, potato. Aluminium. All right, go and have a pee.
Aluminum.
Niche.
Film.
Use.
Jeez, don't get me started.
Alrighty, our new releases for May 26th through June 1st are Agony for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I don't know if there's how many people are actually looking forward to this game. And I'm
I've seen a few trailers for it. It looks quite interesting. I've not heard of it until recently, but yeah, looks good.
I'll pass. It looks scary and stuff, so I'll pass. We have Everspace for the PS4 on the 29th, Legend of K Anniversary for the Switch on the 29th, Moonlighter for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac for the 29th. Sega Mega Drive Classics for the PS4 and the Xbox One also on the 29th. And last but not least, we have Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 29th. And those are our new releases.
Is it Everspace? Is that that big, big, massive space shooter? Is that it? Is that what that is?
No, it's on the Xbox. It's on game already, preview on Xbox, No, you're thinking of Eve Online, aren't you?
Eve Online, I'm a twat. I'm a twat.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. It is absolutely true.
Anyone thinking of getting Agony then?
No.
No, I'm in agony.
I'm a chicken shit, so that would be a no for me. I couldn't even watch, what was it, they had like 16 minutes worth of play or something on YouTube here a while back. I couldn't even get through that. I just,
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
It looks good, no. I mean, I got freaked out playing Oxenfree a time or two. So Agony? No, that's a no.
Are you interested in that new game coming out this week, Greg? Agony? Have you seen anything on this?
I have not seen anything up, but I don't do horror games.
Right.
Although I'll do zombie games.
Yeah.
But I don't do the horror stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it does look horror.
Yeah, it looks very freaky. Very freaky.
Devils and ooh, yeah. Blood.
I thought you guys actually were talking about Street Fighter for a second, but yeah, never mind.
No. And remember, Greg, when you sprinkle, when you tinkle, remember to wash your hands. Put the lid down.
Always. Yep.
Good.
Hey, if you haven't played Everspace, that is, think of it like, what is it? Not Horizons.
A big space that goes on forever.
No, it's a space game. It's not space. Quite Space Simulator. Mark, what's the game that you were playing at loads of?
Starpoint Gemini.
No,
Elite
no.
Rebel Galaxy.
Elite Dangerous. Elite Dangerous, yeah. So it's Elite Dangerous Light. It controls a little easier. It's a little more arcadey, but it is a gorgeous looking game. And, you know, if you're looking for a space sim light, that's Everspace.
Cool. Okay, victory achieved. Let's keep this going. Victory achieved is when you finish a game to the end. We want you to finish your games. What you do is you take a lovely selfie of yourself. and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved. Just like Greg's demonstrating now, he broke his camera and taking a selfie. And what happens is you get your 30 seconds of fame. We retweet it on our stream. We read it out on the show. And you get entered into a draw to win $20 or £15, a gift card for PSN, XBL, Steam, or Nintendo.
It's free money, people. Literally, you do not get opportunities like this. Free money.
No, we do not store your details. Goodness, we actually do store people's details.
We do not sell your details, though. That's the key.
Nicole's working on a GDPR policy as we speak.
The people that finished games this week, we had Adamskid, which is Kyle Adams. I know, Nicole, we said it wrong, but it's Adamskid 86. He finished Far Cry 5. John Moose, 55. John Mao. He finished Sniper Elite 3 with a nut shot. Chris Elite, he finished Far Cry 5 as well. Denaktiku finished A Way Out. And Kim Gamer Girl finished Oxen Free. Very well done, everybody.
Yes. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. I get a little tingle every time I hear that. All right. Look, if you've made it this far, one, congratulations. You are you're a better person for having listened this far into the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's God's honest truth. You could be part of the conversation. Normally, we start at 9 p.m. in the UK.
Yeah.
1 p.m. on the West Coast. 4 p.m. on the East Coast. However, of late, it's been a little more 9 p.m. ish. So bear with us as we have struggled through some technical difficulties. Sometimes my fault, sometimes totally Mark's fault. but yeah, join us. Be part of the chat. We really do put our listeners front and center, literally front and center in the middle of our podcast feed. We have this giant text wall for you to chat away in. And we should recognize some of those chatters. Kim, maybe you can call some people out real quickly in a nice way.
Our chatters for today are RCGC, Hardly Dan, Commander Root, Baron Von Glauer, Fairworm, and Virgo Praz.
Oh, hold on. There's also Jockson the Dumbarse in there as well.
Okay. Jockson the Dumbarse.
And Zeth, XTHE_mailman?
The mailman. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Always the mailman. He reads twice.
Jocks and the Dumbarse. That has to be.
So Sarah's put in the chat, she preferred this later start because she got some chores done. So she preferred the half-hour later start. So,
and a samosa.
See, that's a positive for me being not prepared this week.
There you go.
Positive. That's what we'll spin it. Positive. Yep.
Yep.
All right. You can also listen to this audio. Audio only, because Mark is going to be getting that iTunes version up and out, also for Stitcher. Basically, any place you can listen to this from an audio feed, Mark is going to make sure that this podcast is in there, ready, locked and loaded by tomorrow before he cuts the grass.
Yeah.
Before he smokes the grass.
Yeah, no.
Well.
No. Maybe. Look. But if you are listening to this, whether you're watching it on Twitch, you're on YouTube, you're on iTunes, give us a review. That certainly does help us. Positive reviews always help us get more people to see us and find us. And that, at the end of the day, is something we want. If you like to be part of a club and you feel like you want to be part of a community, the good news is we're here to help. We have tons of communities. Mark has made sure that we have at least one community in every corner of the video game galaxy. So if you're on Discord, look, it's the future, folks. We cannot deny Discord is something. We have a Discord podcast server. It's OC Podcast. Go check that out. Discord.ocpod.com. If you are on Steam because you're a PC gamer like Hardly Dan and you can't be bothered with consoles and you like your keyboard and mouse, we have a Steam group. It's called OC Podcast. sorry, OC Podcast Group. I didn't want to, you know, mispronounce that. If you're on the PlayStation 4 and you're somebody like Sarah who prefers her PlayStation 4, you can go to OC Podcast Community. And last but certainly not least, if you are on the Xbox and you want to hang out with Robin, go to OC Podcast Club. Check it out. We're here to help you through your gaming woes and lulls. All right. And with that said, Mark, spin that disc.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Potato! That's good.
Well done. Well done.
That was awesome.
I think we need to get Nicole to record the entire closing.
Yeah, I don't know why she left them other bits out.
Yeah. I think we can get all these bits in there and then just have her do the entire thing, and we can just wrap it up with a unique sound every time. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, it's time for us to finish up this podcast. So without further ado, Robin, give us some NASA goodness and do a shout out.
Yeah, you can get me, Robin Tate, on @BongoTheSane. If you go to bongosbits.com, you'll see my blog there, and you'll see the adventures of me and my family. Also, go to Facebook and search for Robin Tate. And every Wednesday evening, at least every Wednesday evening, you'll see the adventures of my wife and I as we lose weight. And I'm well over a stone, which is about six, now over about 16 pounds. And since we've been doing this over the last 6 or 7 weeks, so that's always a bit of fun. So every Wednesday night, we do a little live stint. So that's always good, and it's getting more and more popular. So go to Robin Tate on Facebook or go to bongosbits.com. Lovely to be on the show again. Nice to have no responsibility whatsoever. I did plan with my elder son that I would sit down with him and help him go through his code at 10:30 tonight, but probably he's asleep by now, so... Damn it, Mark.
Sorry. And next week, you're going to have to spin the decks next week, Robin, because I'm not here. I'm away.
Okay. You're away. Yeah. All right. That's not a problem. Mm. It'll be a disaster. It'll be fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Kim.
All righty. That's me. I'm at GamerGirl27. That's Twitter. That's Xbox. Slight variation for PlayStation. It's GamerGirl, GURL_27. And you'll find me on Facebook, too, if you search hard enough. So, yeah, shout-outs. Shout-out to you guys, because, you know, it's fun like usual, even though we were a little late. But, hey, we've ended it almost on time, so that's good. Shout-out to our listeners and the viewers and our chatters. You know, you're the reason we do this thing. So how about you there, Mark?
I want to shout-out my PC for being a pain in the ass tonight. Yeah, you can get me at Mark Alex on Twitter, and I am Mark Alex on all the gaming platforms. That's how you can get hold of me. A big shout out to Sean available, Sean Radowski, Nicholson, who helped me on State of Decay earlier. Massive help and helped me get sort of like through the sort of like bits I was struggling with. So yeah, thank you very much, Sean. I'll let you take us out, Greg.
All right. Shout out to Robin and Kim for being here on time.
If you're not early, you're late.
Exactly. Mark, look, it's always fun podcasting with you. You know we love you, so fear not, my friend. You still have a job. I do want to shout out Jay for messing with your PC. Well done.
Wankor.
That's shout what out he is. To Windows for updating right when you wanted it to happen. And, you know, again, shout out to the community. As Kim said before, we really do kind of bring this all together because we love entertaining not just ourselves, but you as well. So that said, we will do our best to be on next week at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. If it's a little ish, blame Robin. And Mark, fire some music up. Let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. see you same time next week.